Thank you, fellas. God bless you. That was good. You know, I first started working on this morning at 5 a.m., and I worked on it all day throughout my travels. And I appreciate Brother Butler. Brother Butler picked me up at the airport, and I had my laptop out working on it on the way to church. And boy, it just is something I think could be a big, big help. Now, let me say this. My wife is coming with me to Union City, and I know you understand that. All right? So Mrs. Butler's heading up the ladies' conference and going over and heading that up for my wife to take you to that ladies' conference. If you don't know Mrs. Butler, you need to get to know her. She's a wonderful, wonderful lady, just as well as all the other assistant pastors' wives that we have here on staff. These are just jewels. They're just jewels. And to get to know them is just a blessing. And I do hope you take time to get to know them in a special way. Let's look at this tonight, if you will. And we're talking about, of course, in the series, A Time to Build, and tonight, especially tuning or turning, if you would please, turning your personal pain into an acceptable gain, okay? Turning. Now, you think about that, turning. You have some personal pain in your life. How is it that you can turn it into an acceptable gain? Again, here Paul is speaking. I believe that he's presenting himself as someone that does have the proper balance. When he says in Philippians chapter 4, verse 12, he said, I know both how to be abased, the Bible says, and I know how to abound. It says, everywhere, in all things, he says, I'm instructed both to be full and to be hungry, both to abound and to suffer need. But now notice the next verse in verse 13. He says, I can do all things through Christ, which strengtheneth me. And as I speak about this tonight, I want to be careful how I lay out a foundation in which we are going to look at this at. I want to be very careful how I cover some things tonight, but I also want you to get the truth of it. You know, I've seen people that has been personally hurt, and they never get back on track. They get hurt, they get off track. I don't know how many people I've met out soul winning, knocking doors, and they said this, I got hurt in a church. I witnessed to a guy across the street in Florida that's, of course, a dear friend to my mother-in-law who I stayed with while I was there, and he comes over and cuts the lawn and stuff like that, and he come walking across the street, and I mean, this is just a Brewster of a fella, and he said, you must be Mike. I said, I am. He said, I heard you were coming. I want you to know I look after your mother-in-law. And I'm thinking, boy, if she's got a brute like that looking after her, she don't need anybody else. And I said, well, thank you so much. I said, I'm preaching here in town. I'll be preaching Monday night, Tuesday night, 7 o'clock. I want to invite you to come. Oh, he said, I'll never step foot back in church again. He said, I got my feelings hurt. Now, this is exactly what he said. He said, I got my feelings hurt years ago, and I don't intend to get over it. See what I said? I don't intend to get over it. Now, I want to help you tonight intend to get over it. And there's some Bible principles here, okay? There's a big difference between the survivalist and a successful, productive Christian that faces personal pain and how they face it. Nobody loves pain. I've never met anybody. You go to the dentist and you're in pain, you don't leave there saying, oh, that was wonderful. I can't wait to go back again. No, you go to the doctor and you have to get certain types of things done. Oh, my, you might not like to go back to do it again. You get sick. You might not want to revisit it again. All right? So no one really loves personal pain. But everyone is going to have personal pain in one way or another. Sometime they're going to face a personal pain in their life. So what do you do? Well, before I tell you what to do, let me just share some personal things in my life that I've had pain in about. I wrote them down this morning, the pain of inexperience. I remember when I first went into the ministry, I made many mistakes. Now, why did I make many mistakes? Because of inexperience. Because I lacked patience and I lacked people skills. And so that caused personal pain, the pain of inexperience. Statement number two, follow along if you will. Pain of hard decisions. Pain of hard decisions. Leaving a ministry. very hard. I remember when we left and we were crossing the Verrazano Bridge that would lead over to Staten Island as we were driving out of New York City, and both Sylvia and I, we were weeping because we were leaving people that we love that live in Brooklyn. But we were going where God had led us, to a different ministry. But can I tell you, we suffered personal pain in doing that. I remember the first time, I've been an evangelist for 12 years. Nobody ever left. They were always coming for 12 years. And the longer that we stayed in evangelist, the more people was coming to these revivals that we were having. And pastors were coming, and some would bring vans and even sometimes buses and stuff. It was growing. I was becoming very well known in Southeast Asia and other parts of the world, where we would preach to thousands of people, and hundreds of pastors and missionaries and full-time workers would come. And so when I came here, I was used to people coming. I mean, that's what I've known for 12 years, people coming, churches growing, people coming, all right? And the very first time that somebody told me, they came to my office privately, and they said, "Pastor, we're leaving." I said, "You're what?" They said, "We're leaving. We're going to go to another church." Can I tell you, I was not emotionally or mentally ready for that. I just thought that it was going to be just like evangelism, where people come and come and come and nobody leaves. I was living a fantasy. Now, but that broke my heart. And can I tell you, pain sometimes is hard decisions. Some people left because we were making some changes in the church that was going to embetter the church. Okay, I don't apologize for that. Won't go back and recap that. But can I tell you, there was that pain of making hard decisions. Statement number three, there's the pain of bad health. Bad health. All my years, I've had excellent health, being a runner, being a boxer, being somebody that's been athletically involved all these many years. But these past 2 years, I had the walking pneumonia, then the pneumonia, then the double pneumonia, then COVID. All right. So it's been a little bit of a challenge with the health. All right. Can I tell you, there's the pain of bad health that you might suffer in your life. Statement number four, there's the pain of change. The pain of change. For many years, I had to change things in what we call IWWE, International Worldwide Evangelism, that I started many years ago. And the reason we changed things was to reach more lost people, to get the gospel out to more of the masses, to be able to train personal soul winners on foreign soils around the world, to be able to train more pastors how to be better equipped in their pastoring skills, and to be able, if you would please, to give, if you would please, tools so that people could use to reach the lost with the gospel. Well, there's some pain in change. You know, we've changed things up here, again, for the purpose of getting out the gospel more so in our church, our local church ministries. Oh, there's been change. There's been change. There's been pain. I remember when we pulled up the carpet in here. That was something that I thought was a good thing. But did you know some people like that green carpet? And I'm serious about this. And they came in here. And I remember one teenage girl standing right over in this area here this was brought out, you know, and she had a tear in her eye. And I said, "Why?" She said, "That this means a lot to me." I said, "Well, take a piece home. Cut it out. Take a piece home. You know, you can have." "Oh," she said, "you mean it? You mean it? I can have a piece of that?" I said, "Little sis, you can have all of it if you want." Okay. But now there's pain, a pain because of change. Come on now. The older you get, the less you like change. You're used to that chair sitting in your living room that's been sitting in the same place for the past 30 years. And if somebody moves it, you're going to have a fit. The older we get, the less we like change. Okay? So there's the pain of change. People have that problem when they get married. Singlehood. Now shock, marriedhood, coming together, united. She's got her way of living, he's got his way of living. Now they got to come together and figure out how to make it work together. Change. Okay. Statement number next. There's the pain, if you would please, of conflict. I said there's the pain of change, and then there's the pain of conflict. You know, I spend a lot of hours counseling people, and as I'm counseling people, there's family conflicts. Oh, yes. There is husband and wife conflicts. I've had husbands and wives come to my office for marriage counseling, and one sits on one side. Have you ever been to my office? I have a staff desk in there where the deacons will meet and where the staff will meet. And so we have this long, long desk in there that was given to us by a businessman downtown, and a very nice layout in there. But I remember one couple coming in, and she sat on one side of the table, and he sat on the other. Well, that's not a good way to bring it together, but at least they were in the same room. They were argumentative. They shouted at each other. They pointed fingers at each other, and a curse word or two flew. They were very upset at each other. Now, can I tell you, there was a conflict there, a conflict or two, or a book full. There was conflict, but over a period of time, through counseling, they started to sit on the same side of the table. Today, they're outstanding members of our church with no conflict or little conflict in their life. All right, Brother Palmore Sr. says, thank you. It wasn't them, folks. It was not them. I'm just trying to make it clear. When he speaks up and says thank you, you know, he's being Brother Palmore is what he is being. And so they've never been in my office for marital counseling, and so I just want you to know that, Brother Palmore. You're welcome. There's the pain of disappointment. Pain of disappointment. You know, in my life as a preacher, the pain of disappointment falls in two areas, mostly. People messing up their lives. They know what we've taught. They know what the Bible teaches, and they mess up their lives anyway. So there's the pain of disappointment. In my life, there's the pain of compromising preachers. Compromising preachers. If preachers would stay by the book, we'd have a better society. If they stop compromising, putting all that liberal music in the church house and standing up and performing and all this other junk that they do, where it looks like you're going into some type of theater rather than a preaching station and a church the way it ought to be, we'd have better societies. But because they choose to compromise, it breaks my heart. I'll be honest with you, that's a big disappointment to me. There's the pain of relationship losses. Relationship losses. When I lost my dad, that was pain. I lost my dear mother to heaven. They're in a better place, but that was pain. When I lost my brother, my older brother in heaven, that was pain. When my wife and I, we have something that it's just something we learned to do years ago. Even in Brooklyn, she could tell you. We went out for a cup of soup is what it was tonight before service, and we were just reminiscing about all the things we've done together in serving Christ. And I said, what a wonderful journey it's been. But we were reminiscing a little bit going back over, and years ago we learned to quickly fall deeply in love with people, quickly, deeply in love with people. Now that's just who we are. Well, I'm sorry if that's a shortcoming, but that's who we are. So we can fall quickly and deeply in love with people. Well, the problem with that is when people leave the church or something happens in their lives, and the pals contacted me. They're watching tonight, dear friends of ours, and of course he was going to go in for surgery, and so Mrs. Powell contacted me, friends from years ago, and said, preacher, I know you pray, and will you pray for my husband? And so I prayed as he's going to have surgery. Well, it broke my heart to hear that he was going to have surgery, you know. When you're the right type, I would say, of a person that has relationship, when you suffer a relationship loss, it hurts. It's painful. All right? So how do you take that personal pain and turn it into an acceptable gain? Let me give you some statements. Statement number one, know the proper way to respond before the pain comes. Know the proper way to respond before the pain comes. In other words, it's predetermined. Just because somebody curses you out don't mean that you need to curse them back. Just because somebody doesn't forgive you doesn't mean that you ought not forgive them. Just because somebody is having a bad day doesn't mean that you ought to have a bad day in their face like they are in your face. You ought to be Christian no matter what anybody does to you. The Bible says in Psalm 119 and verse 110, the Bible says, the wicked, it says, have laid a snare for me, yet I erred not from thy precepts. So it said, even though the snare was laid, I didn't err. I didn't make a mistake of judgment. I didn't err. Okay? Why didn't he err? It was predetermined what he was going to do. Proverbs chapter 9 and verse 9, the Bible says, give instruction to a wise man and he will be yet wiser. Teach a just man and he will increase learning. So here's a wise man, you give him wisdom, he's going to increase in his wisdom. You teach a just man, he's going to increase in his learning, his knowledge. Okay, what are we talking about? We're talking about knowing the way to respond before the pain comes. Have it predetermined. Proverbs chapter 21, verse 23, the Bible says, whosoever keepeth his mouth and his tongue keepeth his soul from troubles. The soul, we've said many times, is the mind, the will, and the motion. So if you keep your mouth shut when you're supposed to, it'll protect your mind, your will, and your emotions. Proverbs chapter 2 and verse 1, here we see, he says, my son, if thou wilt receive my words and hide my commandments with thee, listen to it now, so that thou incline thine ear. So first you hide the commandments with you, and then what happens after that? He says, so that thou incline thine ear unto wisdom and apply thy heart unto understanding. Okay, so what God is teaching here is like what Spurgeon said of years ago. He said, dig your wells deep while you're young so that when you're old, you can draw from them. That's what it's talking about, a predetermination. Okay, you have a choice. You can forgive or you can fight. You predetermine that before you walk into something. You can get better or you can get bitter. That's all predetermined. You can be a person that is patient or you can have pity. That's all predetermined. You can pray or you can play. That's all predetermined. You can determine or you can be derailed. That's all predetermined. Successful people are people that are successful on purpose. Victorious Christian living is people that's living the victorious Christian life by purpose and character. Not something that pops up overnight. It's predetermined. Statement number two, allow every pain to be your teacher. Allow every pain to be your teacher. Every pain to be your teacher. Proverbs chapter 1 and verse 5, the Bible says, a wise man will hear, will increase learning, and a man of understanding shall attain, it says, unto wise counsels. All right? And so allow every pain that you go through to be your teacher. Proverbs chapter 19 and verse 7, the Bible says, the law of the Lord is perfect. Listen to it now. Converting the soul. The testimony of the Lord is sure, making wise the simple. Okay? And so here's a person that says, here's what I'm going to do. I'm going to learn from this. I'm going to allow whatever I'm going through right now to convert me to be that better person. Psalm 25 and verse 5, the Bible says, lead me in thy truth and teach me. It says, for thou art, it says, the God of my salvation. It says, listen to it now, on thee do I wait all the day. So all the day long, you're allowing God to lead you, and God is going to teach you when you go through painful things. Okay, here's some questions, okay? When you're going through pain, as far as allowing it to be your teacher, ask yourself these things. Why did it happen to me? Ask yourself, how did it help me? Going through this painful thing, how did it help me? How can I grow from this? What is it that I've learned out of this experience, this event, this relationship, this challenge, this problem, this temptation? What is it that I can learn from this that will help me to grow? How can I grow from this? What did I learn from it? What did it teach me? Statement number next. I said, statement number one, I said, know the proper way to respond before the pain comes. I said, statement number two, allow every pain to be your teacher. Statement number three, what can I do differently not to go through the pain, not to go through this pain again? What can I do differently not to go through this again? Not to go through that pain that you just faced. What can I do differently? All right? You know, here's what the Bible says, Ephesians chapter 4 and verse 27. The Bible says, neither give place to the devil. All right, give place. What does that mean? Don't let him put a hook in. What does that mean? Don't give him an area. Don't give him an area. I preached in chapel, I think, 2 weeks ago on your strength, if you're not careful, will destroy you. Your strength. You think about the people that had great pride in their lives. You check them out. That's why they went down. Oh, their pride was in Christ, but then it turned to themselves. Oh, yeah. You've got to be careful about your strength, because your strength could be your worst enemy if it's not submissive to God. So here's what we see. Okay, what can I do differently to not go through this again? What can I do differently to not go through this again? Well, neither give place to the devil. 1 Corinthians chapter 10, verse 13, the Bible says, there have no temptation taken you but such is common to man, but God is faithful, who will not suffer you to be tempted above that which you're able, it says, but will with the temptation also, he didn't say you wouldn't have temptation, he said, but when this temptation does come, also, he says, to make a way to escape that you may be able to bear it. Okay, so here's what we understand. Okay, we can understand that if God's going to be the one to help me through this, and I didn't trust him that time, maybe as I go through it a second time, I can trust him better. All right, Psalm 27 and verse 14, the Bible says, wait on the Lord. It says, be of good courage, for he shall strengthen thy heart. Wait, I say, on the Lord. Okay, so what do we understand? You know, what I understand is this, that what can I do differently not to go through this again? Somebody said this, if you don't pass the test, that means you have to take it again. You have to take it again, okay? You don't pass the grade, you got to repeat the grade. A friend of mine said, I failed the first grade because I fell in love with the teacher. When I came back the next year, I had a different teacher. So it might be differently than what you think once you fail, all right? Learn to protect your spirit. And I'm being honest with you, and I love you, but you listen to me. You've heard me say this over and over again. If you're spending so much time on the news that it affects your spirit, then in order to protect your spirit, you might have to get rid of some of that news. If you're spending so much time with a negative person that it affects your spirit, you're going to have to balance that thing somehow. Hello? If your spouse is one that has negativity about them and they're always negative, 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 you've got to balance that by becoming extra positive so that it floats out to be normal. Now, that's the same in everything. Okay? It's good to have a good balance in your personal life and also in the life of your family. Here's an idea. Build a bridge over it. Build a bridge over it. Oh, here's an idea. Go around it. And riding your bike, you might hit the pothole once by accident, but in coming to the same place in the bend in the road where you know the pothole is, the second time that you hit it, if you're going to hit it, it's probably because of stupidity. Go around the pothole. You say, I don't like to be around so-and-so. Well, who said you had to? One thing I like about our church auditorium, we're so spread out. If you don't like somebody's deodorant sitting on the foundational floor, the primary floor, you can go upstairs and smell somebody else's deodorant. If somebody agitates you because of the way that they laugh, I said that because some just laughed. You don't have to sit right in front of them, behind them, or on top of them. You could sit somewhere else. You said, well, that happens to be my wife you're talking about. We do have Bible counseling. I'm saying this tonight. I'm saying that what you can do is you can figure out something differently to do, so you don't have to structurally go down that same path again. You know what dampens your spirit. Now you have a responsibility by God to protect your spirit. You say, well, you know, so-and-so is talking bad about me. Then ignore them. Hello. You know, some people got shocked about the different ones that was attacking fundamentalism. There's always been people attacking fundamentalism. They don't like the fundamental truths of the Bible. There's always been people attacking fundamental truths, all the way back to the time of Christ. Well, don't let that affect you. You go on about your business and love God and serve God and just let the attackers attack. Don't think that you're more perfect than our Savior. He had people attacking him all the time. What do you do? He just went about the king's business is all he did. By the way, you're not going to find a religious group out there that people don't attack. You're not. You know, if you were a Southern Baptist, there's going to be people attacking you. You go ahead and be a Mormon. Now, don't. But people would attack you. Go ahead and be a Jehovah Witness. My friend, you're going to get attacked. You are. If you were a Catholic, you'd be attacked. Come on. If you didn't have any standards, you'd be attacked. If you have standards, you'll be attacked. If you smile, if you breathe, you know, somebody's going to attack you because you're putting the wrong thing out there in the ozone margin and infecting the world. All right, so here's what we do understand. We do understand this. You can go around some things. You can, if you would please, concur with some things. You could be able to avoid some things. Do whatever you have to do. I said statement number one, know the proper way to respond before the pain comes. Now, don't let your emotions respond. You respond according to biblical principles. You'll always get ahead of the game. Statement number two, allow every pain to be your teacher. Allow every pain to be your teacher. If you've had harsh parents, don't be bitter at your parents. I help people with this all the time. If you've had, parents that were abusive mentally or whatever, don't use that as your lame brain excuse not to turn out right and have the right type of disposition with other people in life. That's a personal choice. I visit people in the jail and they say, well, I didn't have the right upbringing. I said, you've got a lousy excuse. Now, I'm saying this, statement number three. What can I do to not go through this again? Statement number four. How did this change my outlook? Now, stay with this. How did this change my outlook and make me into a better person? How did this change my outlook and make me into a better person? Now, by the way, the end result would be a better person. That's the end result. Not to be crippled, not to be somebody that's always wanting to beat somebody up, but how can it make you to a better person? I really do like the story, if you will, that's given to us in the Bible, and let me read it to you, and you'll know exactly who I'm talking about. Here's what it says. Over in the book of Genesis, chapter 50, and verse 20, it says, but as for you, ye thought evil against me, But God meant it unto good, to bring, it says, to pass, as it is this day, to save much people alive. You remember the story of Joseph, sold into slavery. Before that, he was put in the dry well and sold to the Midianites. Wound up, of course, there at in the king's court eventually, going into prison there. Before that, of course, in Potiphar's house. I mean, he had all this against him, all this against him. And one day his brothers come down, if you would please. He meets them and he said, hey, you meant this for evil. But he said, let me tell you what. Watch what it says. But God meant it unto good, to bring, it says, to pass, as it is this day, to save much people alive. You can be in pain and live in pain, or whatever you're going through, the rest of the days of your life, and God will never use you to the magnitude that He wants to be able to save the lives of other people. Now, this is talking about physical. But I've seen people that get so sideways that they don't even care about giving up a gospel. Here's what it says in verse 21. The Bible says, now therefore, it says, fear ye not. He says, I will nourish you. Now, this is a guy that had every right to be bitter. If anybody could have been bitter, it should have been or could have been Joseph. But he wasn't. I mean, think about everything he went through. Again, that dry pit, and the Bible does call it a dry pit. No water down there, nothing. It was dry. Left there to die. Lied about. They brought his coat back to dad and said some beast must have got him. Lied about. Broke daddy's heart for many, many years. That was the one he loved, it seemed like, more than anybody else. You know, he was hated and despised by his brothers. Every time they'd see him coming across the meadow and they saw that jacket, oh, the hatred got even worse. Sold into Potiphar's house, if you would please. Taken into bondage, if you would. Sold, if you would please, by the Midianites to Potiphar's house. And then you find out that he winds up in the king's prison. And not even forgotten in the prison. But God was working on him the whole time. And the Bible says this. Now, therefore, he says, fear ye not. He knew that the brothers knew that he was in a position of power. He could have ruined them. He could have had them killed. He says, now, therefore, fear ye not. I will nourish you and your little ones. Wow, how about that? Somebody hurts you, then you love them and you love their kids. You love their grandkids. You love their great-grandkids. And depending on how long you live, just keep going on that one. The Bible says, and listen to it, and he comforted them, and he spake kindly unto them. All right? So what do you do? All right, when you go through painful things, well, you don't take it out on the person. Somebody treats you bad at work. You ever think that maybe they're treating you bad because somebody treated them bad? It's been a saying for many years, for those of us that practice biblical counseling, that hurt people. But it doesn't have to be that way. See, God is the one that can change that. Amen. God is the one that can make you whole again. Now, here's what we understand. Okay? No pain should ever be suffered without learning a valuable lesson from it. So the lessons, if we learn from them, will make us better people. Make us better people. Lessons that we learn will strengthen our resolve. If you would please, lessons that we learn, we can carry with us all the days of our life. All the days of our life. Those lessons that we learned as children, as teenagers, as young adults, as middle-aged adults, as older adults. You know, those things we can be able to learn all the days of our life to be able to help people. Now, so how is it that you take that pain and be able to make it an acceptable gain? You take the principles, I'm telling you, if you'll take the principles that was laid out tonight and put them into footwear, it'll help you to be able to make good decisions. And you'll be able to take a pain that, oh, I don't know, Maybe something happened to you in high school. Maybe somebody stole your position. Hello? Remember the story one of the preachers said a girl came to him and said this, I deserve to be the valedictorian. The salutatorian stole my position. She cheated, and I know she cheated. I can't prove it, but I know she cheated. And that girl right then had the ability to be able to say, it was Jerry Pertell's daughter, if I remember right. That girl right then had the ability to say, I'm going to be mad and bitter the rest of the days. And Jerry said this to her, let's get on our knees right now. Let's give that to God, because God knows that. And let's give it to God and let God take that. But if you don't, he warned his daughter, that'll ruin you from this day forward. You have got to take your pain. Those of you that's a little older in life, it's harder to get up. It's harder to walk straight. It's harder to keep up. Your mind is not where it should be. You don't remember quite ever think you should. Okay, let me tell you something. You can either sit down right there and let it be over. You can do that, and you'll right away to be nothing. Or you can decide, just keep pushing, just keep pushing, just keep pushing. By the way, I know guys that are in their 90s. They still ride bikes and run. Johnny Pope, you'll meet Johnny Pope. Johnny Pope is 71. Well, you come to this Baptist Leadership Conference, you'll hear him Tuesday night. He's running around, kneeling down, looking like a 40-year-old. But he's not. Watch some of these older fellows that will grace this pulpit this next conference we're having. Jeff Owens and I are the same age. Same age. I always kid with Jeff Owens. I always tell him, I don't know what happened to you. You got snowy white hair. I don't have any gray hair yet. Something's wrong. But can I tell you this? If you allow God to use you, you can have a long, vibrant life of helping people and strengthening people. But you got to let God use you. You cannot let pain, somebody hurt you in the ministry somewhere, you've got to forgive them. You have an in-law, now that you're outlaw. You got to forgive them. You had a friend, you got to forgive them. Hello? You got a neighbor, pesky neighbor. You got to forgive them. You can allow your pain to be the very best gain that will ever happen in your life.